Hello and welcome to All You Ever Wanted to Know. I'm Jordan Patswold. Today is the last Friday of the month, which means we have Heart to Heart with David Disty for today's program. And David is with us across the way from me. Good morning, David. How are you today?
Good morning, Jordan. I'm doing pretty well.
It's great to have you back. Going to be talking about a seminar that you have planned. You're ready to be a presenter for it next week. Tell us all that came into bringing this about and hosting the Renewing Our Minds seminar.
Well, Pastor Brian Ray from the Parkland Community Church had an idea that he wanted to host a seminar based on Romans 12 verse 2, which talks about do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So he wanted to kind of unpack that over a full day of what does it mean to renew your mind. And so he asked Bonnie Disty, who is also a counselor, and myself if we could do a seminar on that. So here we are.
Neat. Talk about just building in anticipation of this, maybe how your work as a counselor kind of ties in as well with the theme of renewing one's mind.
Well, yeah, that's kind of going to be the focus. We're going to start off looking at why do we study psychology? So look at the theology of Romans 12, verse 2, and I've gotten the question in the past, why do you bother with psychology? The Bible is all we need. And everything in the Bible is what we need, but it's not the only way that God shows himself to us.
Right.
So I'm going to unpack that in a lot more detail and then go forward with what if we learned through being counselors, through learning about psychology? What have we learned about how we can, well, renew our minds?
Yeah, no, excellent. So this will be happening May the 6th. It's going to be one day. I know some things like we talk about, we always wish we had more time to talk about certain things. And so this will give a great opportunity for people to really take a lot in from 9:30 to 3 o'clock. What does that day really look like within a bit more deeper?
So we're going to start off talking about kind of the theology in the morning, and then Bonnie Disty, she's going to talk kind of about automatic negative thoughts. So the thoughts that come into our minds and that kind of run our emotions, that take over sometimes, and what we can do with those automatic negative thoughts. And then we're going to have lunch. So lunch is provided. So that's why there's the small fee, $10 fee. So while we're talking about that, please register ahead of time. Let myself or Bonnie Disty know. That way we make sure there's enough food for you.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, after lunch, then we're going to go into kind of more of my side of things, looking at relationships and how those impact our thought processes, and looking at our perceptions, how that impacts how we think and how we feel and how we act.
Great. So, is there a cost to come to the seminar?
Yeah, $10, and that's to cover basically the advertising and the food fee. So, yeah.
Awesome. So, again, May 6, 9:30 to 3. If we can, diving into some of the subject matter, if that's all right, too.
Yeah.
You caught my ear when you said automatic negative thoughts, because I think this is something that I can relate to, just in how I might be in conversation or discussion, or maybe if it's a little bit more heated, argument with my wife as an example, there will be these thoughts that pop into my head, and someone wants me to say them. I don't think the answer is me, rather than someone else that might be trying to really put a wrench into the argument, or something that's not really helpful, like just something that I know I would regret if I even dared to utter those things. Is that kind of like what we're talking about in some ways when it comes to negative thoughts?
That's kind of what we're talking about, but there's another layer to it as well. Often we think that an event causes our emotions and our reactions, but there's a step in between that we often miss. There's an event, there's our perception of it, and then that causes our emotions and our responses. So that automatic negative thought is kind of that perception in between the event and the emotion. So then when we can change the way that we see what's happening around us, including the way that we see ourselves and the way that we see other people, then that can have a different resulting emotion, and therefore a different action on our part too. So yeah, these perceptions that we see events through are so important, because, well, like it says, it's an automatic negative thought. It is something that we are so used to doing. It's something that just comes natural to us.
Yeah. Well, and it's good to really be able to know the process and just what people should go through when it comes to making some of these thoughts so that it can be in a healthy way. Often it's important not to let things bottle, if you will, because the more we shake, the more we shake. Well, as they say, the more explosive an eventual event might become if we keep tucking things away. So expressing emotions in the moment, they can be healthy, and it's very important too to keep honesty of how we feel about certain actions or behaviors of our loved ones, things along that line, sort of.
Yeah, and then to dive under a little bit deeper. So it's important to express our emotions, but then to express what's behind them as well. So we have a role to play in looking at our perceptions and making sure that those are in line, but then also to be able to see what's really behind what we're feeling. So part of what I'm going to be delving into is looking at the emotions, our perceptions, our expectations, and then really underneath it all, what are we really longing for? What are we really yearning for? So if, like, say we get into a fight with our spouse, what is it that we're looking for? Because what are we getting out of it? And what do we need to get out of it? So there's a sense of belonging, a sense of having the ability to have power in our world, not power in a negative way, but power as in we are beings who have some control in our environment. We can make decisions, we can do things, we have kind of an autonomy there.
You mentioned in regards to like finding the source of a feeling or when something comes out presented, this can be, I know, sometimes tricky because if a loved one is having a really bad day, the other family member might come in and try and find that source. It can be tricky because, are you upset because of this? Are you upset because of that? That can be sometimes not the right way to approach it. Is it more of a self-examination when finding where the source of certain feelings are coming from?
One of the most important things to do is to see where the emotions are coming from inside of us, rather than trying to hypothesize about what the other person is thinking or doing or feeling. So one example I use is anger. Often people say, I'm just mad. But I like the phrase, behind every mad is a sad. So anger is a secondary emotion. What's the primary one that's kind of causing it? Often there's fear, hurt, sadness, grief underneath it. So if you can express those primary emotions, then the anger doesn't necessarily have to come out. So, and then that makes it so much easier for the people that you're dealing with to not get defensive or not respond with anger. So if you're expressing your sadness, your fear, your hurt, then the relationship has a really good opportunity there to deepen.
Well, and we can liken it too to sometimes kids, toddlers even, who have trouble making that communication. Often when they're expressing sadness or a tantrum, there's a reason for it. There's something beneath the surface that will help them feel better. A toddler might be crying that they didn't get their toy, but really the reason they're in tears is that they're actually hungry, something completely different, something along those lines.
And for toddlers, their brains haven't developed enough so that they can come to the understanding of, you know what, these tears are about being sad, or so, these tears are about being hungry. But so, as parents, it's our job to
figure it out. Right? Whereas, when we become adults, that's where it comes back to the self-reflection and self-examination, because, hopefully we have the brains to deal.
As adults, we have the our brains have the ability to calm themselves when we practice those things. Toddlers, until you're like the age of 8 to 10, you don't have the ability to kind of calm your own brain. Those parts haven't developed enough. So as a parent, then we go in and do the things that soothe the toddler.
So again, the Renewing Our Minds seminar with David and Bonnie Disty. They'll be presenters May 6th, 9:30 to 3. Is this going to be happening at Parkland Community Church? I think I may have Parkland Community Church. You mentioned Brian Ray, so great. And we're going to continue chatting about this seminar, a few other things as well. And if you want to call in for anything you may be needing help about, 306-783-5160. Our lines are open as well throughout the program today. We are back on All You Ever Wanted to Know today, heart to heart with David Disty. We're talking today about the Renewing Our Minds seminar. This will be happening May 6th, 9:30 to 3, Parkland Community Church. And if anyone wants more information or to register, David, what's the best way to make sure they're in for the event?
You can give me a call at 316-0101 or email me at ddisty@gmail.com.
Awesome. And once again, Parkland Community Church going to be hosting it. Other people you want to thank for being a part of putting this together?
Yeah, Yorkton Alliance Church is also helping to put it together. They're providing some of the food, and they've been helping with the advertising of it. So, yeah, big shout out to Yorkton Alliance as well.
Excellent. So we'll continue jumping back into some of the things that are going to be talked about. Again, 9:30 to 3 on Saturday. I'm kind of curious, when someone suggests maybe you need a renewing of one's mind, when someone makes that suggestion, maybe they might think they need it for different reasons. Some might be interested because, oh, I got to do something about my mind. My mind always wanders to worst possible scenarios, as an example. Sometimes living in that kind of fear can be very dangerous.
Yeah, if your mind is always going to looking at the negatives, looking at the bad stuff around us, or expecting things to turn out badly, yeah, that can result in depression, anxiety, all sorts of difficulties. So, yeah, if you can look at the positives that are going on as well, so you're not focused on, well, the glass is half empty. That's as cliche as it is, that kind of shifting of your focus does help. And also, one thing that's really helpful that I found with couples is, while yes, a lot of communication may have been bad in the past, giving your partner the chance to do things differently this time. So if you go into a conflict expecting it to go badly again, then you're going to play a role where it will probably go badly. But if you go into it saying, you know what, I'm going to give my partner a chance to do things differently, so I'm going to do things differently too. Or saying, you know what, we have had some good times, and this time could be one of those. And you know what, we've been learning some new things. We've been trying some new things. Maybe this time we're going to get it. We're going to use these new tools and do better.
Yeah.
So looking at the next event as possibly going better. Because if you look at it that way, there's a better chance it will go better.
Yeah, it's a really good point, just of how if you're always living with your head in rain clouds, if you will, that never a sunny day will come again. It's so unhealthy mentally, physically, arguably as well, just the kind of depression that could settle in. And sometimes, yeah, it is just a matter of being able to renew our mind, as it were, hence the seminar, of course, and just letting people know that, there can go a long way into just making one a lot more healthy in so many different ways. Now, going back to theology as well, really fascinated to hear some of the tie-ins that you hope to incorporate what the Bible says with what the seminar will be all about.
Yeah, one of the verses that I'm going to kind of focus on is Proverbs. I hope I get it right off the top of my head. Proverbs 25, verse 2, or somewhere in there. And basically, Solomon is talking about, it's the glory of God to create all these wondrous things, and it's the glory of kings to explore them. So God has created all this amazing stuff in our world, in our universe, and it's an exciting thing, an important thing for us to explore them. And what's the crowning achievement of God's creation? It's humanity. The one thing that God made in his image. And afterwards he said, it is very good. So the study of ourselves is looking into what God created and what he said is very good. And so psychology is part of that. Psychology is part of looking at what God made and what he wants to do with us.
Yeah.
So that's one part of it. I'm hoping I got the verse right because I don't have it in front of me. But yeah, somewhere in Proverbs 25, I believe.
I think all you're just saying is you're going to cover that area.
Yeah.
Because even though you focus on one, you got to look at what came before. Well, look what happened afterwards. So
yeah. And another big piece I'm going to talk about as well is one of the books that's kind of been transformative for me was written by a Spanish nun back in the 1500s, St. Teresa of Avila. And so she wrote this book called The Interior Castle. In the beginning of it, she talks about the soul as being like a giant diamond, a diamond the size of a castle. So how much is this diamond worth? You can't put a number value on a diamond that worth of that size. Well, I imagine some insurance company would try, but really, how much is that soul worth, this massive diamond? And then as we're going through life, we sin. And it's like there is tar that is being splashed on that diamond. There's these specks of tar. But so often we don't see it as this huge diamond of immeasurable worth with flecks of tar on it. We see it as maybe a tiny little gemstone thrown into a tar pit. And so which one do you see yourself as? Do you see yourself as something with some little bit of value but lost in a quagmire of tar, mud, whatever it is? Or do you see yourself as something that God says, this is the most important thing? And yeah, there's some stuff that's some flecks of tar on it, but the value doesn't change.
You're still a diamond under there.
You are. You're this immeasurably huge diamond. That's how God sees you. How do you see yourself?
Yeah, well, it's a very good point. I think the example of how people coin the Bible as basic instructions before leaving Earth, it kind of reminds me in that way that when we hold everything that the Bible has to offer to us so near and true, how closer we actually become to finding that just inner, I don't know if peace is the right word, but in some ways it is, just coming to that feeling of self-worth as an example, but also the closer we can be to what God has outlined for us, well, I really do feel the more blessed one can feel in the sense of not worrying about what the world says you need to be successful, but what God says all you need to be successful.
Yeah, changing our focus from pursuing things out of that kind of fear about what, like you said, what the world sees as successful. And that goes back to what I said earlier. We're going to look at kind of the emotions, the perceptions, expectations, and those yearnings. So if someone's chasing after what the world says you need to be successful, what are they really looking for? What are they really longing for? What are they really yearning for? A sense of acceptance. You can go and try and get a Lamborghini, but you're still not going to be reaching that sense of acceptance. So how can you go about it in a different way that's not going to result in that fear, that anxiety, that stress?
Yeah, well, I've told this on many other programs, talking to other people just about when I went overseas, particularly to India, and I was fortunate enough to go with an organization, a Christian organization, Gospel for Asia, and it was just so fascinating how here I am in one of the poorest places in the world. They took us to some of those neighborhoods, the Dalits, if you will, in English, the untouchables, as they say, and yet you see so many people that are yet so very happy in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Right. Many of them that I was able to encounter had been blessed in many different ways through Gospel for Asia. They had gotten something like maybe a bicycle or a sewing machine, and that literally might be the only thing in their home. And yet they don't look at what they don't have, which maybe we do have that syndrome here in North America or in the West, if you will. But there, they're just so grateful for that little that they do have, and that they've been given it and are able to use it in just many different forms. And that just hit me in such a way that it's like, wow, what do I have to complain about when I've been given so much? Now, I know that that train of thought doesn't necessarily work for everyone, right? Maybe always trying to put the at least card out there. But at the same time, I just feel like there is a kind of peace that if some of those people with so little are still able to put a huge smile on their face, bigger than maybe even I put on my face at any point during my own day, I may have it all wrong. I'm looking at the wrong things that will make me happy.
Yeah, and I'm going to kind of take things back to what we do with children is so important to, it transfers over to what we do with ourselves. So when you're working with a child and they're, I'm going to talk about attachment theory. We've had Deborah McNamara on here and another theorist for attachment theory with couples. So that idea of if you're have a strong relationship with a child, what do they really want? They want to snuggle with you. They don't need all this other stuff. They don't need to chase after having the new toys. They just want you. And so when we grow up, why do we lose that? Why do we have the desire to chase after all the other things when all we really need, all that would really be satisfying, is to snuggle up with a partner, but more importantly, with God, to just have that sense of closeness, satisfaction, contentment. I remember a while back at our church, Dion talked about being under the wings and being collected underneath the wings of our God. And what's it like if you're underneath the wings of your God? It's warm, comfortable, safe, secure. You have everything you need there.
Yeah.
So why do we go outside of that and chase after everything else? So to be, I guess, be more like a child, which Christ does say as well.
He does. He really does. It's the whole clingy thing. It just struck me. It's like, my little guy, not clinging attachment, sorry. It reminded me of my two-year-old who's being a little extra clingy with an expectant new one coming. We're like, oh, okay, this makes sense. But rather than, get irritated by it, after a little bit of whininess it can be, but no, but then you're absolutely right. It's that reminder. It's like, hey, they want to be with you. What greater joy can there be in that? Much like for God the Father with each and every one of us, he's not going to be like, oh, they're bugging me again with prayer. No, no, God is not going to be doing that.
No,
he's going to be taking us in, embracing us. And well, regardless of where we are in our life, he is there for that hug. It's up to us whether or not we go to him for it.
Yeah. And with kids, like when you watch kids playing at a playground, they don't just go off and play and pay no attention to anything else. They go and play and then return to their parent or whoever's looking after them. And then they go out and play again. And then they come back and then they go and come back. And if that person who they've been coming to, that kind of secure person, isn't there, then they don't have the freedom to play. They need to keep on coming back to have that reassurance that they are safe. There's someone looking after them.
Hmm.
And that's kind of what we need as adults too. That's why it's so important for us to be going to God regularly, to be praying and reading regularly, because we need to go back to that secure place to know that we have, that God's got our back.
It's one of the hardest grieving times for people is when they lose their parent for this very reason too, because when it comes to the turning back, it just goes hand in hand with a lot of people, is that they use their parents for that advice or that guidance of how they should handle a certain situation. I think in a large part too, that's why those with those maybe harder strained relationships, life can be all the more challenging for them if they don't have that.
We all need to have someone, a relationship like that, whether it be with a parent or with someone else, or ideally to form that strong, close bond with God.
Yeah.
Because if somebody doesn't have that strong bond with someone who they know will take care of them, when you lose that person, you're lost. You're adrift at sea. You don't have a safe place to be rooted.
Wonderful. Renewing Our Minds seminar with David Disty and Bonnie Disty. They are the presenters May 6th from 9:30 to 3 at Parkland Community Church. Again, you can reach out to David if you want to get registered for this event. Again, email, phone number, David?
Yeah, give me a call at 316-0101 or email me at ddisty@gmail.com.
And very reasonable, $10 to cover your lunch and again, a few other minor expenses, and that will get you in. We'll continue chatting with David when we come back on All You Ever Wanted to Know and Heart to Heart after this. Back here on All You Ever Wanted to Know today, Heart to Heart with David Disty. David and Bonnie Disty will be presenters at a Renewing Our Minds seminar at Parkland Community Church, May 6th, 9:30 to 3. And David, again, just outlining the day, what it will look like, and the kind of seminar, guessing engagement with those that are coming out. People can likely expect a chance to throw some questions out there, have them answered back, and that kind of thing?
Absolutely. I want it to be as conversational as possible. I wouldn't want to listen to myself talk for that long. So, to have people ask those questions, clarification, examples. As the more conversational it can be, the more helpful it'll be to people. And, the less you'll have to listen to me yammer on.
Will people be engaging with each other? Is that part of it at all?
There'll be a little bit of that. There's going to be some people that are coming by themselves, some people coming in groups. So there's going to be stuff for you to work on by yourselves. And if you want to engage with your neighbor on it, that's totally fine. But it's not going to be just sitting down listening to the two of us talk from 9:30 to 3.
Again, important to mention, it's not like a couple seminar. It's not a family seminar per se. No. Yes, if someone wants to come with their loved one, work on some of these things that are presented together, that's fine and dandy. If they just go about it on their own, that's fine too.
Yeah, we've got some families registered. We've got some couples registered, some individuals that are coming. So, if you want to come by yourself, that's great. If you want to bring a partner or a family, that's great too.
Mm-hmm. Again, $10 gets you in the door. Again, from 9:30 to 3, it will cover lunch and a few other minimal expenses. Very reasonable, though, for the entire day. And, hopefully lots of people are able to come out for this event. More about some of the content to be discussed when it comes to renewing our minds.
One of the big things that I'll be talking about along the lines of changing our perception is I'll be talking about Dr. Ross Green's work. I'm actually working on lining up an interview with him, so hopefully that'll air in August or September. It's a ways away.
Neat.
But anyway, so Ross Green, he's a psychiatrist, a child psychiatrist, who doesn't like psychiatry. So interesting guy. But one of his catchphrases is that children do well when they can do well. So when kids are misbehaving, his view is that it's not that they are intentionally being bad, that they don't like to be bad. It's that there's something, some skill that they're missing, some need that's not met. And so rather than looking at it as, man, that kid's bad, it's looking at it kind of as a detective of, what does this kid need? What am I not providing for this kid? What does this kid need to learn still? What skill don't they have here?
It's looking at it
with ourselves too, rather than getting down on ourselves about, oh man, I'm such a failure. It's looking at it as, well, what's getting in the way here? So one big thing for me is I found out that I have ADHD, a year ago or something like that. And before I figured out what it was, I was always getting so frustrated with myself, like, my goodness, why am I so stupid that I forgot this? And then I found out, wait, my brain works in this way. And it means that at the end of the day, I'm forgetting stuff because my brain needs extra protein throughout the day. My brain needs to have different sets of reminders. So it's that my brain's working differently and I need to pay attention to that. It's not that I'm stupid or that I'm flawed in some way. It's that I need to figure out what I need in order to get through and do the things I need to do.
Kind of goes back to what we were talking a bit beforehand, is when we look at an emotion and realizing how we came to that emotion. Mm-hmm. If it's basically putting the pieces of a puzzle together.
Yeah. And so often we'll see you might see a jumbled box of puzzle pieces and think, oh my goodness, it's such a mess. And then you figure out, wait, there's a picture on the box. There's a place we can go. And hey, these two pieces fit together and you continuously work towards it. And sometimes people come and mess up your puzzle and you start over again, but that's okay.
Mm.
You continually work towards doing better.
All right. Again, Renewing Our Minds seminar with David Disty and Bonnie Disty, presenters May 6, 9:30 to 3, Parkland Community Church. More about that's going to be talked about that we haven't already got to?
I guess the main things that we'll be talking about is theology, why renewing our minds, and why psychology, how do those work together? And then we'll be talking about the automatic negative thoughts. So that step between an event and our emotions, there's the step between in our perceptions and our thoughts. So how do you change those thoughts so that you can have an event and a new thought and then a new emotional response and a new action after that? So that's going to be kind of the morning, and then the afternoon we'll be looking at relationships and perceptions of ourselves and looking deeper rather than just looking at our actions or emotions. What's going on underneath those perceptions, those expectations, those yearnings, so that we're working out of kind of an informed place rather than just going through what we've always done.
Now, if someone comes to this and they really like what's been discussed and they really want, I guess, a conversation or just even a dialogue, maybe with it's a family member, when it comes terms to something like counseling, that's something that you and Bonnie together are trained in and can pursue with people after the fact as well.
Yeah, we're both trained counselors. And so, yeah, if there's some, if this brings up something that you're like, oh, hey, I need some more help dealing with this, then by all means, contact us. And we'd be glad to help you work through whatever it is that's that you're looking to work through.
Yeah. Well, and we all have something that we can work on when it comes to our minds. I doubt anyone's going to be coming to this being a thing like, you know, I think I got this. I'm good. But no. I don't think it'll come, like, because there is always something there that we can do or something that can be learned from. And chances are, I'm guessing that, you know, different people that you talk to after this event will have picked something completely different out of it.
Yep. Yeah, there's always stuff to be learned. As I've been putting together material for this, I've been going throughout the day thinking, oh my goodness, that piece that I'm putting together for the presentation, I should have done that. I need to be doing this more. So yeah, it's for everybody, for myself, is probably one of the biggest learning experiences for me is doing this too.
Excellent. And more that we can really dive into when it comes to this. Again, a reminder that you don't have to worry about bringing someone along. If renewing your mind is something that is just fascinating enough to you alone, that is quite all right. Don't be discouraged in coming out. Sure, there'll be others in that same situation. You won't feel alone by it or behind because you don't have someone there along with you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Come along. Register ahead of time so that we know how much food to bring. That'll be very helpful. Yeah.
Great. One more time, we will take a break, but more with David here on All You Ever Wanted to Know, Heart to Heart. Back here on All You Ever Wanted to Know, Heart to Heart with David Disty and with Bonnie Disty. They are presenting the Renewing Our Minds seminar at Parkland Community Church, May 6th from 9:30 to 3. Give David a call if you want to get registered. Do you have a cutoff point, David?
We said May 1st for the cutoff, but there's further advertising that's starting on May 1st, so there's some flexibility.
Right. Just important ahead of time at the very least at some point, just so that food can be all sorted out and prepared ahead of time. So something like renewing our mind, it's great to have this sort of thing. There's been a large awareness and attention brought towards things of improving one's mental health, taking care of one's mental health, just as important as our physical health in a large perspective, because mental issues, they're taking loved ones away from us at such an alarming rate. It's very saddening. The one thing I'm grateful for about people talking more and more about their own anxieties and issues when it comes to their mental health, I guess there's that hope that, you know, others can come forward realizing that, hey, they don't have to put up with it. They can do something about it to get the help they need.
Yeah. It's interesting that you bring up the mental health is just as important as physical health, because we're going to talk a little bit about the biology of stress and what really does happen in our brains and the rest of our body. Because over the last 10, 15 years, there's been so much research about neurology and how our minds work. And it used to be that we thought that, like, our thoughts, our minds are just the result of what happens inside our skull. But it is what happens throughout our bodies. There's a lot of communication between the different parts of our brains and different organs in our body. Yeah. So there's, I'm not going to go into great detail, but there's a vagus nerve that goes down through our chest and abdomen that we found that has a huge role in anxiety. So many people with anxiety and depression and emotional issues like that, they have other concerns in their chest and abdomen, because this vagal nerve, it talks to the liver, it talks to the stomach, it talks to the kidneys, it talks to the lungs, it talks to the heart.
Yeah.
So what's going on inside of our brain has a big effect on all these other organs in us. And one really cool thing that kind of blew my mind is that the vagal nerve goes right next to the stomach. And so then when people eat to calm themselves, it's because you're inflating your stomach and it does push against that nerve.
Oh.
So there's so many cool things that we're finding out.
Wow.
That the body affects the brain so much and vice versa. So we're going to talk a little bit about how the top of your brain, you can use that to talk to your lungs. And then when you slow down your breathing, and that slows down your heart rate, which tells the core of your brain, wait, we're not in danger anymore. So there's a lot of interaction between different parts in your brain and different parts in your body, too.
Yeah.
So we're going to go into a little bit of that stuff. But
well, and it makes sense. When someone is extremely anxious, there are those feelings, right, of the butterflies in your stomach. Mm-hmm. It really is something going on there.
Absolutely.
It's not just in your head.
No, it's not just in your head. Yeah. It's your whole body responding. So like the fight or flight, when you're scared and your heart's racing, your breathing picks up.
Sure.
What goes on there is that the limbic system, the core of your brain, sends a message down to the adrenal gland, which is on top of your kidneys. So it's your brain telling your kidneys, and then the kidneys tell your lung and hearts. Your heart, and then your brain looks at the lungs and heart and says, oh my goodness, I'm scared. And then you start thinking that you're scared.
Yeah.
And so there's that big interaction there, and we can find a way to kind of interrupt that cycle.
Yeah. Well, this is a lot more fascinating element, although Inside Out does it really interestingly too.
Mm-hmm.
But just in this self of what you're saying of what actually happens, not little bodies in our brain that are like, I'm going to take control of things. Or,
but there's so much in the movie Inside Out that's true as well.
That is true, yeah.
One of the big guys who's done so much research in the last 15 years, Dan Siegel, he's actually was an advisor to the Inside Out movie.
Oh, wow.
So a lot of the stuff that we'll be talking about is what Dan Siegel said to put in the movie.
Oh, that's really nice to have that rather than just people's own interpretation of artistic mm-hmm. freedom, but actually doing a bit of digging in there and making those connections. That's awesome. So.
Yeah, and it's pretty cool. There's been a lot of tools created using the Inside Out movie to help kids work through and understand emotions. So.
Yeah. Well, we can keep going on that theme. If anyone hasn't seen it, I apologize for the lost reference here. And what I think put the movie into perspective for me was just a lot of people's interpretation of depression mm-hmm. is just when sadness takes over.
Yeah.
Right. And that's not necessarily exactly what's going on. That sadness is affecting that person. It was a line where, for those not familiar, sadness was represented by a little person in the brain, happiness by another little person in the brain, anger, mm-hmm. another little person. And basically, happiness and sadness escaped out of the brain. And the line that struck me the most is that if we can't get back, the character won't feel anything.
Yeah.
And that is, I think, a much better representation of mental illness in some ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is where the person, it's not that they're feeling sad. There's just an absence of emotion. And so we may interpret it as sadness, but instead it's actually something a lot more deeper than that. They don't know how to feel about anything in some ways, in some cases. That's what they're going through.
Yeah. And one thing that really stood out to me in that movie was throughout the beginning of it, Joy didn't know why sadness existed. It was like, well, what's your purpose, sadness? You stay over in that corner. Just stay there and don't touch anything. But then it was a really pivotal moment where there was an imaginary friend who had lost something very important. And so he's sitting on the side of this cliff just crying. And sadness sat down with him and just said, yeah, that's really sad. And when sadness was able to sit there and empathize, then this imaginary character, I forget his name, was able to go on. But without sadness being there, there was no moving on from that event. So sadness helps us to move on from something. It tells us what's important. It tells us that we've lost something important.
Yeah.
And without it, well, life isn't the same fullness.
Well, and people also use the line of how, you know, it's the sadness that puts you in the valley that helps you realize, though, when you're near the top in some ways, though. Like, mm-hmm. when you're having those good times as well. Bing Bong, by the way.
Bing Bong, that's his name, yes.
It's the imaginary character from Inside Out. Again, I highly recommend it. It's on Netflix. It's available for all kinds of TVs where you can rent the movie and all the rest. It is really fascinating. We can almost do an hour show, I'm sure, on Inside Out.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Next time on Heart to Heart with David Dissey. But before we say goodbye for today, once again, Renewing Our Minds seminar with David and Bonnie Dissey, presenters May 6th, 9:30 to 3, Parkland Community Church. Again, if people want to get registered, if they want maybe some counseling in other areas of their life, David, maybe we can do a rundown the kinds of counseling that you offer for people outside of the seminar.
Yeah, I do lots of different types of counseling. I do individual, couples and families, addictions, so working with whether it be depression, anxiety, anger, marital difficulties, difficulty with your children. There's lots of different stuff that you would go to a counselor for. And yeah, you can get a hold of me, call me at 316-0101, email me at ddisty@gmail.com. You can go to distycounseling.com as well. And the Facebook page too. Disty Counseling is on Facebook.
Yeah, lots of neat stuff on there. I know you're often sharing pieces and articles as well that people might be interested in trying to put an explanation to, as an example, why kids might be acting out, or what's going on with us as adults too at the exact same time, and lots of great information there too, and links to some of the fellow or previous guests we've had featured on the program. So
yeah, there's lots of good information on there. Check it out.
Excellent. And what do you have lined up for us in the future?
Oh, we've got so many different stuff. We've done a lot of interviews that are already recorded. So we have another one lined up with Deborah McNamara for next month, I believe.
Okay.
And then there's one with emotionally focused therapy psychologists. So he'll be talking about how using attachment theory in couples therapy. So he's coming up later. Doing an interview with Randy Flood from the Men's Center about, he wrote a book called Masculopathy about male socialization. So yeah, that'll be a really interesting one.
Well, it's becoming more and more evident to me as a married man just how different it is than when the ladies get together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, great. We look forward to those, David. Again, all the best next week as well with
the
seminar. Again, can't say it enough. Renewing Our Minds seminar, May 6th, 9:30 to 3. Give them plenty of heads up if you are coming, or at least a few days before, by the middle of next week. They just need to know those numbers for how much food to prepare and all the rest. Thanks again, David.
All right. Thank you very much, Jordan.
Yes, it's been all you ever wanted to know for today. Until next time, have yourself a wonderful day and be blessed.